Hallelujah. Well, we appreciate all of you that are here, and glory to God. Thank you for those viewers that are watching. We love you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. Hallelujah. Today, Candy was doing her private time in her private place, and she was going through prophecies, and she came out with this particular one, and I read it to me, and it goes way, way, way back, about 10 years. But I thought it was really something that the Lord would have us. I thought I would just use it tonight. I will say it that way. And so we're going to hear it in just a moment. But I want to talk to you for just a moment about this book. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. How many have read this? Okay. And I think that we need to advertise it to read again. Pastor Dave Roberson, the Holy Spirit wrote this through Pastor Dave Roberson. Actually, it was a number of his teachings. He probably didn't sit down and just pen the words or type the words out. I know enough about him, but it was a compilation of all of his teachings through the years, and not all of his teachings, but much of his teachings on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. And if there's anything that we really teach around here very strong is prayer, and particularly praying in other tongues. So if you please, I would just advise you to get this book. Well, how can I get the book? Well, let me say this. It's real easy. You can go on Dave Roberson's website and download it for free. We do have a limited amount of copies, so please don't write me and say, I need 25 copies. But if you're, you know, part of this church, we probably have enough for anybody that really, you know, if you're local here. But I would encourage you, I'm going to start reading it again. It's been a while since I read it, but I would encourage you to read through this book, answer so many questions. And one of the questions that it will address is, what are impasses? And that's something that we a lot of times don't understand as born-again believers, that when we're walking in the Spirit and we feel like, man, I just want to go further, I want to go faster, I really want to get to know God. And that's the heart of, I believe, everyone that's here tonight, if you're here on a Wednesday night or if you're watching on a Wednesday night. And then you find out all of a sudden it's like you start going in, and you find out that you're not too far into really spending more time with God and seeking God, maybe praying extra than you have been, and adding some what's that one word that we love so much, fasting, and you start adding that to it, and you say, I really want to get to know God. I really want to get close to God. And you start, if you're filled with the Spirit, now maybe not everybody that's here or everybody's watching is filled with the Spirit, but if you're born again, and that's all you need to know, is if you're born again, you've accepted Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, well, that you're ready to go to heaven. We don't teach a doctrine on a baptism of the Holy Spirit that you have to be filled with the Spirit to go to heaven. But we do teach that it is the first place where power begins to show up in your life, and you can, the Holy Spirit wants to pray the mysteries through you. Well, there's a whole lot of teaching. We've got a short, if you go to our website, it's called Discipleship Training, and it's not exhaustive, it's very short, but it tells you what is baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is praying in tongues, how to get filled with the Spirit. And then how to go to the Word of God and begin to, you know, build yourself up by reading the Word of God, because that's the next thing that you need in your life. Somebody said, what do I need in my life to really get to know Christ? Well, one, you need the Word of God, and you need to get in a place where you're continually reading the Word of God and going to the Word of God as much as possible. And then an active prayer life. Well, we teach that praying in tongues on a deliberate basis is something that is very, very important and something that's very, very profitable. Well, this book teaches people just in a very practical manner what that's all about. And so I really encourage you go into his website if you haven't read it and picking up on it and beginning to read it. So with no further ado, we're going to listen to this prophecy and then we're going to go over it a little bit because I think it addresses some things concerning some ceilings and what I would call impasses and things that we address as we start going further in Christ. Pastor Dave used to have a saying. He said, for the people that are really gung-ho, they start in to really getting to know, wanting to pray, spend more time with God and really getting to know God, and you're no longer in there very long that the Holy Spirit begins to show you in a very loving way the things that are keeping you from going to the next level and the things that are stalemating your faith and the things that you keep saying, why do I keep failing in this area? Well, sometimes we've got a pure heart in a certain sense. We really don't know, but the Holy Spirit begins to show us. And Pastor Dave said, once we get into that place, a lot of times we're like, hey, I was doing better before I started praying, because you start thinking, I was feeling really good about myself, and now I'm seeing certain things that I need to change in my life. Well, if you don't stop and you'll just keep praying, that's where most people stop, and they say, I'd rather go do something than to sit here and find out more about myself where I need to change. Well, the change doesn't take place by willpower alone. It takes place by allowing the Holy Spirit to take you to the next level. So let's listen to this prophecy. It's called Pressing Past Ceilings. It's in our old, throwback font. So if you go to our website, it's Prophecy 160360. It's March 6th, 2016. 160306. So I think you've got that ready. Let's listen to it. You can read along, and then we'll make some comments, and then we'll go to the Word of God here for a little bit tonight before we leave. So, okay, let's listen to this. And Marty, if you have it for us, please. Thank you.
For through the generations of time,
pull it way up,
so since I left the seed in the earth, I have desired that men would grow, that men would take that which I left and bring forth fruit in the earth. Not that my church would be diminished, that it would come forth in multiplicity and power and strength and replicate the exact image of what was left. Know this, that those who seek me, those who come to a place where the ceiling of their life gets so thick that there's hardly motivation to go further, and there's hardly the strength emotionally to proceed any further, those who will resist and those who will press past the ceilings in their life, and the churches that will press past the ceilings of spiritual places that they've come to, with a desire to say there is more and we must have more. These are the ones in these days that I am searching. As I said in my word, that my spirit and my eyes search throughout the earth, seeking to show myself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards me. This is the perfecting of the heart, is the hearts that lean to the scriptures and hold to those things that were left and say, let these things be replicated in us once again. Despite the ceilings, despite all of everything camped in the emotional realm and in the physical realm and in every realm to detour and to bring forth every argument that there will not be that which has been, know this, that which has been will also be replicated again in the lives of those who will press past the ceilings and will fight and stand and fight and stand. There'll come an hour in which the ceilings will be broken. There'll come an hour in which refreshings will come. Kehare esidiato. Ekalahore de dimakota. For often say, many say, this will come on all, but it will not come on all. For not all of those who call me by name will experience this. They'll watch in awe and wonder as my church, those who have pressed past the ceilings of the flesh, enter into a place that replicate the first begotten. They will watch these things. Many will be brought in by envy, righteous envy. Many will see these things, but many will harden their hearts and stay in their places. But know this, I will have that bride, and I will have my church, and my church will experience the great outpouring of my Spirit in these last days, saith the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Very powerful. Doesn't matter how many years ago it was. For through the generations of time since I left the seed in the earth, I've desired that men would grow, that they would take that which I left and bring forth in the earth, not that my church would be diminished. We are seeking an outpouring of none diminished. We talk about that we're not going to lower the bar around here, that it would come forth in multiplicity and power and strength and replicate the exact image of what was left. Know this, that those who seek me, those who come to a place where the ceiling of their life gets so thick that there's hardly motivation to go further and there's hardly the strength and emotionally to proceed any further. And that's where I wanted to read down through this, where you say, why we just listen to it, why are you reading again? Because I really believe that there's a lot of people that start out on this journey and then they begin to meet these ceilings and they begin to meet these impasses. And the Holy Spirit wants to just again reiterate to us how important it is not to quit, to stay faithful in what we started out doing, to go further. And there's and then he goes, those who will resist and those who will press past. He continually talks about ceilings. Well, there is a ceiling. It's not that God's put the ceiling on it, but how many of you believe, this is a rhetorical question, how many believe that we ought to have signs and wonders and miracles every service, every single service? So that's a no-brainer in the sense of the word, but there is a ceiling, and the ceiling is not that, and it's really not even, it's really hard to say this because I'd like to blame it on him. It's really not even Satan. It's the ceilings of our flesh. It's where we haven't gone to as of yet, as in laying down our lives. And the Lord's not condemning us for that, but he wants to remind us how important it is not to quit, even when we're facing, like, I'm bumping my head up against the same thing I did last year. Well, that's when we determine not to stop, because if we get past the impasse, there's going to be a breakthrough. Hallelujah. An incredible breakthrough. Those who will resist and those who will press past the ceilings of their life, and the churches, the overall churches that will press past the ceilings of spiritual places, that they will come to with the desire to say there is more, and we must have more. The prerequisite, let me say this. Sometimes we meet people and we talk to people, and you meet your family members and you'll run into your, and they just don't get it, and that's okay. They don't get it why we do what we do, in the sense of the word that we're teaching, spending as much time with Jesus as possible, spending as much time in the word as possible, and not having a necessity. Listen, it's not wrong to have to do things. It's not wrong to go places and do things. There's nothing in the Bible that says it's wrong, so you can't preach that it's wrong. You can't say it's a sin. But what we're teaching around here is this, that there is a place where the hunger gets so great to see things change and to not be able to have the capacity to sit and see things that need to be changed. I'm talking about kids being healed. totally healed. I'm talking about lives being changed that are under emotional pressure and anxieties. I'm talking about the streets of our city being won for the Lord Jesus Christ through a presence. And we're asking God to take us and replicate the hunger. And this is where I say a lot of times people don't get it. They're like, I want to be a Christian. Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. But I'm just not. The prerequisite to growth is hunger. And everybody's in a different place. I understand that. But the beginning part of growth is hunger. And he can't make you do that. That's something that you have to begin to nurture yourself. These are the ones in these days that I am searching for, as I said in my word, that my spirit and that my eyes search throughout the earth, and this is an Old Testament scripture, throughout the earth, seeking those to show myself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards me. And you might say just are hungry towards him. This is the perfecting of the heart, as the hearts that lean to the scriptures and hold to those things that were left and say, let these things be replicated once again, replicated in us once again. Despite the ceiling, despite all the everything that is camped in the emotional realm and in the physical realm and in the every realm to detour and to bring forth every argument, that there will not be that which has been. Know this, that which has been will also be replicated again in the lives of those who will press past the ceilings and will fight and stand and fight and stand. There will come an hour in which the ceilings will be broken. There will come an hour in which the refreshings will come. Hallelujah. And that's the other thing. You know, the enemy wants to do everything he possibly can to say, well, I'm not seeing the results. Don't look at the present. Continue to look into the mirrored word of God and say, that which has been will not always be. There is a change that's going to take place. Hallelujah. How do you know it? Because the word of God says it. Hallelujah. For often many say this will come, and he wants to do this for the entire church. But the hunger is the prerequisite. It really is. For often many will say this will come on all, but it will not come on all. For all of those who call me by name, not all those who call me by name, will experience this. They'll watch in awe and wonder as my church, those who have pressed past the ceilings of the flesh, enter into a place that replicates the first begotten. They will watch these things. Many will be brought in by envy, righteous envy. Now there is a provoking. The word of God says that we should provoke one another to godly jealousy. And how many would like to be the forerunners of a bunch of people looking at this and saying, I've got to have this. More than anything else, I've got to have this. They will watch these things, and many will be brought in by envy, righteous envy. Many will see these things, but many will harden their hearts and stay in their places. But know this, I will have that bride, and I will have my church, and my church will experience the great outpouring of my spirit in these last days, saith the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Now let's just look at some things that we've looked at before. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're in the house of the Lord? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We've covered this many times before, but I was just meditating here once again today. Hallelujah. Are you here with us? Are you glad? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at what he says. Paul is sharing this, and I think that it really sometimes, this is a, of course, they call it a Pauline epistle. Paul the apostle wrote this, and he wrote it from prison in Rome.
Now, many years ago, I was at the prayer center. When a historian, a Greek scholar and historian, was there, and he was talking about how that he had visited the place of Paul's confinement, and he thought that some of his epistles were written in this place. It was called the Tullian Keep. And the Tullian Keep was in a place under, Paul starts out in Philippians talking about the palace. But he was in the palace at least for a while, but at some part in his incarceration, and they don't know if it was in the first incarceration or the second incarceration, but he was placed in the Tullian Keep. It was an underground dungeon in which the aqueducts or the sewer system of the city of Rome ran through there. And it was well known by historians that the prisoners would actually be incarcerated, chained down in, it's hard to say, but human sewer, sometimes maybe even waist deep, and I don't have all the facts on that. But Pastor Dave did a study on it, and he talked about that, how that because if you were a Roman citizen, you were allowed to send out mail. And they feel like that some of Paul's mail, and some which were writings, we call it mail, but which would be epistles, they feel like that some of those were written in the Tullian Keep, or that he was allowed to come out long enough to write things to the church. When you understand, when Paul was in this place and he was not complaining, but he was rejoicing, it makes me feel pretty small sometimes. And it makes me feel like, if this man could do this, how much more can I, through the love of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit? Finally, my brethren, he says, rejoice. Keep in mind that it's very possible that he was in this place, or he was going back and forth in this place. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. In other words, I've written these things. I'll continue to write these things. It's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware, and he's not talking about physical. He's talking about the men that would actually, the Judaizers that would come in and lead them astray and try to teach to them another gospel, just like he's talking about in the book of Galatians, people coming, trying to teach another gospel, trying to get the church away from the truth of Jesus Christ by legalism and by teaching something of the law that really does not exist in Christ. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, and he's teaching here about, and we want to get to another place here, but I just got to say this. He's teaching here about those that were really tied into the law and were trying to bring the law into Christianity. And it sounded good, but it was like, yeah, you can be saved, but you've got to do this also. Yeah, you can be saved, but men, no matter what age, okay, Gentile, you can be saved by the blood of Jesus, but to really make it all really what it should be, you've got to be circumcised. Well, here's the message of, listen, Christ alone, his blood alone, that's it. That's the foundation. He says over in the Corinthians, if any man destroy this foundation, in other words, if you go in and you begin to teach and add to anything other than Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected, and you begin to add to it and put on top of that, you're in great jeopardy. And that's another teaching of itself. We won't go too far into that. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And he's talking about, we don't, again, there's so much teaching here to be laid
and I'm just kind of wanting to get to another scripture here, but another verse here. But he's talking about, when he's talking about not putting in confidence in the flesh, he's really talking about his Jewish pedigree as far as walking in the law and putting, you know, our trust, his trust, or anybody that would put their trust in the law. But he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. And then he goes into his pedigree. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And he goes into talking about when he was in Judaism, how he went after the church. But the man in the book of Acts, chapter 9, which was Saul, became Paul. When he had his conversion, he totally changed. And he goes on to talk about here, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. And when he says blameless, Paul wasn't saying that the righteousness that he lived pure and never sinned. He's talking about that when he did sin, he kept the commandments and offered the right sacrifice for it. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless I count all things for the loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, anything that was part of what Paul used to be, he says in Galatians chapter 2 that he was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lived, and then he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's amazing that once we're born again, we're crucified. We die, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we become a new creation. We become a whole new creation. But at the same time, even though that we are created a new creation, the amazing part is, Alan Taylor says it, and I can't say it exactly like he says it, only God can make you something new and still leave you in there. In other words, he doesn't take the personality of the person away. You're still you, but the old man, which had death in it, which had sin in it and liked to sin, that old man was crucified. That old man, there's a part of you that died instantly forever. And then there's a part of you that we can't go into that you need to continue to crucify on a daily basis. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he goes in. This is where it's so important. Paul says this, that I may know him. This is the heart of every revivalist, coming to a place where you say, Jesus, when I wake up this morning and I get out of bed, my first prerogative or the first thing I desire is to come to a place that I know you. And when he says I know you, gnosko, or that I know you in a sense of the word, that I have a intimate fellowship with you, a place where, Lord, it's not just a knowledge about you, but it's an intimate knowledge in knowing you, in a place of, Jesus, let me get to know you. Let me fellowship with you above all things. And if we get to that place, then all things are, we're going to get to a place where we love him so much that we won't even know when things start flowing through us. It's like we'll look in retrospect and say, my God, that got done, that got accomplished. And it all gets accomplished by the love of God and knowing him in such a powerful place.
He says this. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. There's a fellowship of his sufferings that we take on. We can't be physically crucified, and the shedding of our blood won't save anybody. But over in chapter 2, he talks about, in this letter, he says that Christ became obedient unto death, and then he uses the preposition, even the death of the cross. In other words, he himself suffered before the great suffering. And the suffering is this, that this is the suffering that we identify with, is what is it inside of me that is complacent? What is it inside of me that needs to die? What is it inside of me that just says, I'm really happy about going to heaven, and that's good enough? Well, a revivalist, kingdom of God people, once you get to know him to a place where you say, Lord, a hunger grips you, and a hunger says enough is not enough, and there's never enough. And it's not like we're trying to do something to win his affection and his love, but it's because of his affection and love we keep going further into him. And the suffering is this. It's not a physical suffering, and it's not an anguish of our soul, but it's saying, Lord, go after those places. I want to look at you in the black of his eye, in the pupil of his eye, look straight at him and say, Lord, what is it that you want to change inside of Bronc Flint? And thank God, I hope you know this, he does it in increments. Hallelujah. Otherwise, I don't think we could take all the purging at one time. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen to that. He says, I love this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And this, if you look this up and read it out of the Greek, he's not talking about, as I've said this before, and we're going over this, this is familiar territory for us tonight. He's not talking about the resurrection of the dead when Christ comes back. In the Greek, it actually uses this terminology, resurrection among the living, basically. And so that we're walking as dead men among the living, so that people, when they come into our presence, they say there's something different. There's something different about those people. Not as though I, thank you, Paul, for this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ is, I love this because here's the deal. I don't, maybe not you, but we look at Paul and we look at the writers of Scripture, and we look at them and we say, man, they had it all. They arrived. Do you know they were in a growing process just like us? Christianity and their life going forward progressed over 30, 40 years of ministry. As they continue to grow, as they continue to grow older, revelation came, purging came, they began to get rid of self more and more and more. So it wasn't like they were, bam, born again. He wasn't the Paul that left in 2 Timothy and gave up his body wasn't the Paul that started out on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And so I think that it's important for us to say, look, if we look in Scripture, even the writers of Scripture, they grew as they went. They died as they went. More and more was given to them. It wasn't like, so there, he's writing these things from the Holy Spirit as he's grown into these things. But he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. He's like God, Christ came to him and said, Paul, I got you. And I got you for a purpose. And the purpose is, I want to use you to teach the Gentiles. I want you to
be my slave in the earth, my love slave in the earth. I want you to follow me at all expense. And Paul, what I will give you is this, an intimate relationship in knowing me. I'll apprehend you, and you'll know what it's like to follow me in the fellowship of my sufferings, but you'll know me in this, that you will know me intimately in a place of face to face. Paul said, because of this, I press towards the mark. This word press is an incredible word. It means, one of the meanings of this word is, it means to persecute. Paul is saying here, I will persecute towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. When he says this, and it means to press forward, but it means also, Paul was saying, look, whatever it is in my life that stands between me and Christ, if it's whatever my spirit, we used to say this, whatever my spirit accuses, I will not excuse. Whatever, when I'm spending time with Christ, and I know it's not a, you know, my conscience, I mean, it's not an accusing devil, but when I'm spending time with Christ and the Lord says, comes to me and says, how about this? You know, I've been asking you for a while about this, and you know, there needs to be some changes in this area. And when we begin to yield that to that, we can either say, Lord, no, I can serve you as I am, or the Lord says, but how would you like to go to another place where when you walk into a room, people feel the love of God? And that's the part where Paul said, I press, I persecute. Okay, that's in my life? No. It won't stay. It's got to go. And you have to have that kind of attitude. I won't allow anything to hinder that place of fellowship. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, everybody say, that means me. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. The word perfect here doesn't mean that you're perfect as in the sense of the word that you have arrived and there's, you never make a mistake. The word here is full adulthood. It means spiritually mature. Let those who are spiritually mature be thus minded. And if any, what kind of minded? Persecuting towards the mark. What is the mark? Well, the mark of the prize of the high calling of in Christ for Paul was not his apostleship, as in sending out letters or starting churches, but if you boil it down, it was his place of intimacy. His identification was my sufferings to know him in intimacy more than anything else. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, spiritually mature, be thus minded. And if I like this, because sometimes, Lord, where am I at? Where are we at? He says, as many as be perfect, but he says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I like knowing this. If I just hang out with God, everybody say, just hang out with God. If I just hang out with God, he's going to be the one who comes and says, hey, you didn't catch this, and it's okay, but I'm going to tell you, this ain't really, you know, if you be any otherwise minded, in other words, he'll be the one. I can relax, okay? I don't have to put forth a hundred piece questionnaire to say, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Just relax in God, spend time in his word, and spend time in the Holy Spirit. And if we be any otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to us. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, in other words, wherever you're at, look, listen, everybody out there, wherever you're at, if you're in love with Jesus, God is he's pleased with you. So know this, wherever you're at, take that place and build on that place and continue to go further. He says, nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained. Wherever you're at, don't be satisfied with it in the sense of the word, like I'm not going to grow, but take that. He says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So hallelujah.
take the ground that you're on and say, he's well pleased with this ground. Because see, look, if you cannot, and I'm not talking, because some people will take this and use it as a license, and this is not meant, because some people are just looking for an excuse. But if you really love Jesus, the groundwork for the next level of maturity is confidence in how much he loves you and how much he's pleased with you. Can you see that? Everybody's different. You could, some people are hard nosed and they just need to be. In football, when I played 9th and 10th, and I wasn't all that great, but anyway, if you screamed at me, if you was like, and that most coaches, and if you got in my face and screamed and yelled and whatever, it took away my confidence. But I would work my, you know what, off, and do everything I could if you started bragging on me. If you start, Flint, man, you're doing it today. You're hustling today, man. I just try to hustle harder. Your heavenly Father, to those that are trying, is saying, I see you. I'm pleased with you. Wherever you have attained, keep obtaining. Keep going further and further and further. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's our confidence in Christ. Hallelujah. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us as examples, or in samples, but it's talking about examples. Hallelujah. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, Paul said, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. And he's not just talking about their physical belly. He's talking about their appetites, their fleshly appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who minds earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we have looked for a Savior. We look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Everybody said, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more dieting. No more looking at this. No more doing that. No more, well, I can't do. There's going to come a day that our bodies will be changed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we're going to get one fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Hallelujah. As beautiful as you are, you're going to get changed. Hallelujah. And you won't have to. There's been, in the last 10 years, there's been like 586,000 different diets and plans, and everybody's got, and I'm going to do, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Have you heard? Listen, there's coming a day. Glory be to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And you're just going to be so beautiful, and you already are beautiful. Hallelujah. But it's like Pastor Dave used to say, he said, you'll be the most beautiful, handsomest that you'll ever be. But then it really won't matter anymore as far as trying to attract somebody, because everybody's on an equal basis. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Let's all stand. Let's just worship a little bit together. Hallelujah. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You are so worthy. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Jesus, you're worthy.
I want to know you.
Yes, just let him know.
Give all my heart to you. I want to know.
Crowd and those that are watching. Take us into the next level. Lord, it's okay to come and get us. It's okay for you to interrupt our lives. It's okay for you to interrupt our sleep. It's okay for you to come and get us in the night. It's okay for you to come and, Lord, do the things that you want to do. Jesus, please, 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 Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, please, Father. My dear city, take my excuses, take them away, take them away. I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for them. Forgive me. Take my excuses.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Come and get us. Come and get us. We love you, Jesus. I want to know you. It's been a long time, Lord, since you had a generation that would seek you and would lay down their lives. Thank you, Jesus. We want to see you. Your kingdom come, Jesus. Your will be done. We love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I want to know you. One more time, we'll be dismissed.
I want to know you.
Appreciate all of you so much. If you have anything to give, there's places in the back you can give. But be blessed. Let his angels watch over you. And I pray you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a presence in your room of his glory and his presence. I pray that you walk through the day. You sit down and the Holy Spirit sits down beside you because he's in you and he's with you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Amen.